This is the Diehards.
Sale winds. He fires. Swing and a miss. Right play. It's over. The Red Sox have won the World Championship.
Tom Brady takes the snap, drops to the knee, and the Patriots have won their sixth Super Bowl title.
The Diehards start now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
Welcome back to hour number two of the Diehards here on Sports Map Radio Network alongside Brendan Connolly. I am Shukri Rice. I just finished eating a Snicker bar, and I feel accomplished as hell.
I saw you sneak out to go grab that off the back table.
No! I snuck out because I had a fart, man. So I just wanted to make sure that I at least, like, snuck out the back door, like, say, hey, let me not stick up the man's place or whatever.
Oh, well,
you
thank
know?
You. Thank like, you. Immediately dives into a snack bar filled with peanuts.
I mean, the next thing coming up is going to be like a whole bar of fiber. But nonetheless, speaking of fiber and someone who has been eating a lot of it this season, Mike Trout. You got to be feeling bad for Mike Trout because Mike Trout, yes, he's still Mike Trout. But I'm telling you, at some point, you've got to be thinking, get me the heck out of here, please.
Or do you wonder, is that the type of guy Mike Trout is? I feel like he would have
had
that already.
I think he's loyal to a fault, and it drives me absolutely bananas. I'm sorry. I'm trying not to curse on national radio, but it drives me freaking bananas. Because, let's be honest, the Angels, they're never going to win a World Series. Not with him still being in Anaheim. And it blows my mind because I had this conversation the other day. In which that I've come to the realization that although Shohei Ohtani is an absolute phenom, but the harsh truth is the reason why he's not bigger than what he is because he plays where he plays.
Well, I actually had this conversation here on these airwaves with John Lyons last week.
Wow.
We were talking about Shohei Ohtani and why his star hasn't really burst even further.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, he's making waves around the MLB, but he's not in a big market. L.A. of Anaheim. That's the key.
Yeah, that's
of,
Anaheim.
Of
it
Anaheim.
Doesn't get the same coverage as the Dodgers or USC
now,
football or the Lakers, but yeah.
If he was playing, I don't know, a couple miles west over at LA,
yeah,
that'd be different. Yeah, that'd be huge. But he's not in the right market. Neither of them are.
As we are going to take another break here, coming up next, we are going to be talking NFL. Training camp is around the corner. Get it here now. I'm starving. You're starving. Stick around. We got more coming up on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Diehards on Sports Map Radio Network.
You're listening to the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
Welcome back to the Diehards radio program where we talk about Snickers, fibers, and farts. This is Shukri Wright sitting alongside Brendan Connolly. Listen, you're not the only one, but I am hungry. I'm hungry, and I'm not just hungry for food. I'm hungry for some football.
Oh.
Because training camp is right around the corner. And as we are now inching towards July 1st, which is this Friday, my friend, now we can really start talking NFL training camp. As all 32 teams across the NFL prepare to descend upon on training camp, the usual annual tradition of seeing guys crash, bang, fight in practice, and even joint practices and so forth. What are you most looking forward to in this 2022 NFL training camp coming up?
Oh, I thought you were about to say in this season. I was going to say.
Oh, no. That's too easy. We're sticking specifically right now, training camp. About 3.5 weeks away, what are you most excited about?
I'm still just waiting to see how each of these teams approaches the training camp season coming up. I'm curious. You mentioned it. Just how exciting is it to see them just banging pads again? Mm-hmm. That is what I want to see. As a former football player myself, I want to see football back on the field. And I'm excited for a variety of things. I'm excited for something we talked off the air. How's Joe Burrow going to react with the Cincinnati Bengals after they made that trip to the Super Bowl? Will they experience a Super Bowl hangover and never make it back? Or does he become one of the NFL's best quarterbacks? That's going to be a storyline I'm going to be watching all
absolutely.
Season long. I'm curious to see how Matt Ryan does over in Indy after spending his whole career in Atlanta. Does he put them over the top? Was that the piece they needed with Carson Wentz leaving?
And that in itself is going to be so much fun to watch. For me, I want to start with the Cincinnati Bengals because we all know the Bengals came tantalizingly close to winning the Super Bowl, hoisting Vince Lombardi.
Oh, so close.
And they just let it slip between their fingers. But more on that another day. We have all seen the game. We've all seen the highlights by now. But for me, I want to see if Joe Burrow can go to another level. Can he immerse himself into the upper echelon of the elite quarterbacks of the NFL? We all know that right now, he's no question a top 10. But I like to call the top 10 a bit of a vague group. We know that there is the top 10 and then there's the elites of the elites.
Mm-hmm.
When we talk about the elites of the elites in the NFL, you talk about Tom Brady. You talk about Aaron Rodgers. As much as we make fun of him for his January perpetual choking, but Joe Burrow is right there. And you talk about what the Bengals are going to be able to bring back this upcoming season. Year two, Joe Burrow, and as well as their star receiver,
Jamar Chase.
You ready for Act Two?
Well, actually, Act Three,
if you think about it. But
in
yeah.
a way, yes.
Yeah.
But if you look at ESPN's power rankings, where do you think they have Cincinnati right now in terms of the upper echelon of the league?
Five.
Lower.
Huh.
Eighth. They have the Bengals as the eighth team in the NFL.
Who are the seven teams ahead of them?
I think you can guess a couple, but I want to see what you think here. So,
okay.
Number one, Buffalo. A little high, for my opinion.
There. No, because I like their move that they made for acquiring Von Miller. That is a game changer, and he can still bring it.
You don't think he's too up there in age at this point? You still
no. Did you not see what he was able to bring to the Rams?
I know. I'm just saying.
That's definitely not. No. He's still a difference maker on defense, despite his age in the NFL. But go ahead.
So ESPN definitely believes in the Bills. Number two, Tom Brady and the Bucks.
Ooh.
Think that's a little high?
That's a little high.
Number three, I definitely think this is high, even though I think they are trending in this direction. The Chargers.
Wow.
Number four, last year's Super Bowl champion, the Rams.
I don't have any problems with that.
Nope, that sounds about right. I mean, the path kind of broke for them. They are one of the best teams, but in a way, I still think there are a few teams ahead of them. Number five, Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers, despite missing Devontae Adams and a few other pieces.
Trading him away and finally succumbing to the whiny... significant other, give me what I want. Oh, I'm out of this relationship. That's exactly what Aaron Rodgers is. Go
Number
ahead.
Six is hinder is a hint here. Hinders on a variety of factors, most notably legally.
Cleveland.
Yep. ESPN believes if Deshaun Watson plays, they are the sixth best team.
He's
in the
guaranteed
NFL.
To miss at least six games. That's why I'm not so sure about putting him that high. But it's not to take away from the real fact that they made a major upgrade at the quarterback position. And as we know, that's what matters in the NFL. Who is your quarterback? There's a reason why Tom Brady is ranked number two and the Buccaneers are ranked number two. Who's that quarterback? Tom Brady. Have we not learned, America, by now to stop underestimating Tom Brady? Age doesn't mean a darn thing at this point.
Mm-hmm.
What matters is that he's still able to put up the numbers at the rightful age of soon to be 45,
which
is unbelievable in its own right.
I mean, hey, TB12 works. Keep doing it, I guess. Number seven is a real surprise, in my opinion. The Philadelphia Eagles.
Let's talk. Stop right there. So, the Philadelphia Eagles, if you're wondering if you need a refresher, they went out and made, in my opinion, one of the most shocking moves of the offseason. Trading for A.J. Brown.
Mm-hmm.
How many of you, when the Super Bowl confetti fell at SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles, predicted that the Eagles were going to go out and acquire not only a number one receiver, a bona fide one at that, but A.J. Brown? How many of you honestly predicted that? Not I.
No, I did not see that coming. Now, do I think that catapults Philly from the middle of the pack to the top seven in the league? I don't know about that. I think it all hinders on how Jalen Hurts looks in his latest year with the Eagles. If he builds upon last year, gets better with the passing game, I think he's got the running game down. He's a great scrambler, can create plays with his feet. I still think he's got to work on his passing ability. If he takes a step this year, I think the Eagles could move into the top 10 for sure.
Absolutely. But here's the thing that I feel is going to be one of the key components of the Philadelphia Eagles in 2022. The status of Miles Sanders. Philadelphia, you can come for me if you want. But I do think an effective Miles Sanders is going to make life a lot more easier for their quarterback. I do believe that. And I do think that if you're Jalen Hurts and if you want to truly submit yourself as the guy of this Philadelphia Eagles team, you need your running game to be able to produce. You can't solely put it on the shoulders of Jalen Hurts and think that the Eagles are going to succeed, but it sure as hell helps to have a guy like A.J. Brown as your number one target.
For sure. And now, here's where I think another surprise comes in here, because we already rattled off the top eight. Who do you think comes in at number nine?
Ooh, I'm going to go with Miami?
Very close. They're actually 10th. Kansas City, who's not in the top eight.
Wow.
Not in the top eight.
Who would have thought?
Let me see.
Who would have thought? Like, seriously. I mean, because, listen, I guess the national consensus has got to be, well, they collapsed in the AFC title game. They lost arguably their best receiver in Tyreek Hill. They lost parts of their offensive line, and you can actually make a case that their offensive line has actually regressed. Yet, the Patrick Mahomes effect. But if you're Kansas City, you can't have him be running around constantly this upcoming season.
The stat from ESPN in here, well, technically it's from Pro Football Focus. The only quarterback to finish higher in wins above replacement metric than Mahomes is Tom Brady. So,
not surprised.
That should tell you all you need to know.
Absolutely.
ESPN thinks the Chiefs' biggest weakness will be their defensive front, which lost a few key pieces, and it will be weak, as we all know. That was their biggest hole in the playoffs. They just couldn't protect, or actually they couldn't create pressure, I should say. So that's going to be the biggest key for me, is how does Kansas City respond to missing these pieces?
Absolutely, and it's one of the reasons why I think that the AFC West – in itself, the division in itself is going to be the biggest storyline in the NFL this season. You talk about murderer's row in that division alone in terms of quarterbacks. You talk about with the Raiders with Derek Carr. Yes, I think Derek Carr is a good quarterback. But
I think he's a good consistent quarterback.
He's a good consistent quarterback. But ahead of him, Justin Herbert. Absolutely. He is going to be the next superstar in the NFL.
And you have Pat Mahomes.
Pat Mahomes, who is the king of kings. And then also, not to be outdone, the former Super Bowl champion, all-pro quarterback himself, Russell Wilson, in Denver. And let's be honest, Denver is a sleeper team right now in the AFC West.
For sure. They've got great – they had the receivers already.
And they had a top-five defense last season, but they had no quarterback.
They didn't have a quarterback. They had a middler with Teddy Bridgewater, who got hurt, as we expected.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's going to happen this year with Russell Wilson? ESPN predicts they'll be the 14th team in the NFL this year. They expect a big boost. We are the diehards, though. Where do you think the New England Patriots fall on this list out of 32 teams?
I think they're definitely middle in the pack, but we are definitely up against it. Coming up next on the other side of this break, we are going to be interviewing John Lines of the New England Football Journal. He is going to be joining the program at 9:25, so stick around for that. You are listening to the Diehards with yours truly, Shukri Wright and Brendan Connolly on the Sports Map Radio Network.
You're listening to The Diehards on the SportsMap Radio Network. Here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
Welcome back to The Diehards on SportsMap Radio Network. Shukri Wright alongside Brendan Connolly. And what has been a very entertaining show so far, it's about to get even better. As joining us right now on The Diehards on Progressive Guest Line is John Lyons. You can follow him on Twitter at TheRealJohnLyons, assistant football coach at Bridgewater State University. He is also a special host here on Sports Vibe Radio Network, contributor to the New England Football Journal as well, and Dirty Water Media. Good evening, John. What's going on, my man? How are you doing?
I'm doing well, guys. Thanks for having me on. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. Listen, football is around the corner, and I am absolutely thirsty. I am hungry. I want to see 350-pound men collide against each other at the speed of a moving truck on a highway. Is that too much to ask for?
You know what, Shukri? You're just under a month away from seeing that in person at training camp. So believe it or not, I know it's late June, but But you're right. It is right around the corner. It is coming up on us.
Yeah, John, Brendan here, as usual. I know you obviously are excited for the season. We were talking about Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals on our last segment. Do you think they respond here, or do you think they enter a Super Bowl hangover?
You know, I actually think they're going to have a good season this year for a couple of reasons. Number one, the key weakness that they had last year was their offensive line. So what did they do? They got Lyle Collins, they got Alex Kappa, and they got Ted Karras. So their offensive line is going to be significantly better than it was a year ago. And they have a core of guys, and not just Burrow and Chase, but whether it's Boyd, whether it's their secondary on defense, they have a lot of young, hungry players, which I think will help them bounce back from that Super Bowl loss. And let's not forget, after Matthew Stafford's second interception, to me, the biggest part of that Super Bowl was the Rams holding the Bengals to a field goal on that ensuing drive. Because I think if the Bengals had scored a touchdown there, they would have won the game and been Super Bowl champions. So the Bengals know how close they were. They had a lot of young and hungry guys. And I think those additions on the offensive line make a huge difference. That's reason number one. Reason number two is I'm not fully buying their division. I think Baltimore is going to be really good in the hunt for a playoff spot, potentially win that division or be right there with Cincinnati. But Cleveland, I don't think, is going to be that good, especially if Deshaun Watson is suspended for all of or a large portion of the year. And I'm just not buying in on Pittsburgh yet. As good as TJ Watt is and Minka Fitzpatrick and some of the pieces they have, I just think with a rookie starting quarterback, I'm just not fully bought in on them. I think they're more of a not full rebuild, but a retooling type situation. So I think the Bengals are going to have a easier division with just them and the Ravens, and they fixed the offensive line. So I expect them to be really good this season once again.
We're talking with John Lyons of the New England Football Journal, SportsMap Radio, and Dirty Water Media here on the Diehards on the SportsMap Radio Network. John, one of the big headlines of this upcoming NFL season is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the return of Tom Brady, but they do lose Rob Gronkowski to retirement, and as well as Ndamukong Suh, who still is unsigned right now as a free agent in the NFL. If you are the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, what is the realistic chance of the Buccaneers returning back to the Super Bowl, in which that they came really close to completing an all-time great comeback against the eventual Super Bowl champions in the divisional round last January?
Yeah, look, I think the Bucs are going to be good, and I think they're going to be a playoff team. And look, the NFC South is not going to be very good. Atlanta could end up being one of the worst teams in the NFL. The Saints have a lot of question marks there. Carolina could also be one of the worst teams in the NFL, although I think they'll be a little better than last year. So Tampa, almost by default, is going to win their division. The problem for them is the Rams look just as good as they were last year. The Green Bay Packers are going to be great. I think the San Francisco 49ers, who were a Jaquiski-Tard dropped interception away from winning the NFC Championship game, I think they're going to be right back there in the mix. And frankly, I think Trey Lance is going to give them more than Jimmy Garoppolo did last year. So I think Tampa Bay wins the division. I think they get to the divisional round. I just think the problem is those three teams I named are better than them. I think the Packers would beat the Bucs in a playoff game. I think the 49ers would, and I think the Rams would. Now, if they can find some way to avoid one of the, you know, all three of those in the divisional round, which is possible, then I could see them maybe getting to the conference championship game. And of course, at that point, a team that's won the Super Bowl that has Tom Brady, you can absolutely never count them out. I just think the NFC is a little bit top heavy, but those teams at the top to me are just a little bit better than the Bucs, and I'd give them the edge in the playoffs.
John, we were looking at the ESPN power rankings entering this NFL season, and they list the Patriots as number 18 overall. What are your thoughts on that, and do you think they can overcome their weaknesses at corner?
So cornerback is probably the biggest question mark overall I have for the Patriots, especially outside corner. I think slot corner and safety, they're fine. They'll be okay on the defensive line, but they do need someone besides Matthew Judon to step up and be a good pass rusher. But outside corner, it could be Jack Jones, a rookie. It could be Jalen Mills, who spent some time there last year. It could be Malcolm Butler, who, you know, has been a year out of football. So they have a lot of question marks there. I actually am high on Jack Jones. I think he's going to end up playing a lot for the Patriots this year, as long as he stays healthy. And he did have some character issues in college. If he can move past those, I do think he'll have a big role. But as far as them being 18th, I think, frankly, that's kind of right where they are right now. I mean, they were arguably there were 14 total teams in the playoffs last year, 7 teams in each conference, and they were probably closer to the bottom of those 14 than the middle, and a lot of teams around them have gotten better. Now, with that being said, I still think the Patriots are going to win 10 games this year. They're going to be in the mix for a playoff spot. The problem for the Patriots is 10 games might not be enough wins to make the playoffs in the AFC, because the AFC West is absolutely loaded. They have the Bills in front of them in the division. Miami's going to give some people some problems. And I just mentioned earlier, with Cincinnati and Baltimore both being playoff teams, I think the Colts are a playoff team. So, you know, you start naming all these teams, and before you know it, you run out of room for the likes of the Patriots. So I think Mac Jones will be better. I think they will win 10 games. Just the problem for them is 10 wins might not be enough in a crowded AFC.
From the NFL to the NBA, and the big news today, as you may have heard, the Atlanta Hawks made a big trade. They acquired DeJounte Murray from the San Antonio Spurs, in which they go out and they swap Danilo Gallinari, the 2023 first-round pick, 2025 first-round pick, 2026 pick swap, and a 2027 first-round pick in return that goes back to the San Antonio Spurs. When you think about teams in the Eastern Conference that are surely going to be beefing up their roster and adding that second piece, where do you view the Atlanta Hawks in terms of having one of the best duos in the Eastern Conference right now? That also includes the defending Eastern Conference champion, Boston Celtics.
Yeah, well, first of all, I like the move a lot for the Hawks. I mean, DeJounte Murray's 25 years old. He's a 21-8-9 level player, putting him with Trae Young. Now, look, I think they're going to have to figure out, and there might be a little bit of growing pains of who's the primary ball handler. Trae Young's used to having the ball in his hands a lot, so is Murray. I think Murray will end up being the ball handler more so, and Young will have to kind of work off screens and work in space to get open, which in the long run might be good for him because he's such a great shooter. What I like most about this for the Hawks is they were able to do it without giving up John Collins. So that's a nice trio for them to build from going forward. And as far as duos in the East, I think that's a great question, Shukri, because Murray and Young is a really great young guard duo, got both guys under 25. I still think the best duo is Tatum and Brown in Boston. They just went to the NBA Finals, and, you know, the Golden State Warriors were a deserving champion. I think their experience showed up, but it definitely seemed at times like Boston beat themselves as much as the Warriors beat them. And I think if Tatum and Brown clean that up a little, you're going to see them win a championship together in the not-too-distant future. But beyond them, I think this new duo with the Hawks is right in that conversation. I mean, Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo in Miami are obviously really good. Giannis is the best player in the NBA, and Drew Holiday is a nice, and Chris Middleton are nice second and third pieces. But I still think, you know, Tatum and Brown are better than those two, even with Middleton at full health. I think Harden and Embiid is nice, but Harden is not the player that he was. And Durant and Kyrie, you just can't depend on Kyrie. So they might have the most talent of any duo. The problem is you can't depend on Kyrie. So I'd probably put that Hawks duo maybe third or fourth behind Boston and behind Milwaukee in Miami, like kind of that neighborhood. So, you know, they've gone from being a team that was a kind of outside contender to a real Eastern Conference Finals type contender with this move.
Well, John, another big development from today. Bradley Beal decided to decline his $36.4 million option with Washington. Does this mean anything, or do you think he ends up back with the Wizards eventually?
It's very interesting because, you know, we talked on Sports Map Radio a couple weeks ago with Peter Yiannopoulos, who covers the NBA for TSN, and he said that even if Beal signed the max, he still thought he was going to get traded and not be there long term. So I think Beal's going to explore his options, and if he finds a good destination, I wouldn't be shocked if he jumps at it. And even if he re-signs, I could see him getting out of there within a year or so.
That was John Lyons, who just joined us on the New England Football Journal, Sports Map Radio, Dirty Water Media. Thank you for joining us, John. Very much appreciated. Look forward to talking to you again down the line.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Thanks,
absolutely.
John.
Stick around. We got more on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Diehards on Sports Map Radio Network.
This is the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
Welcome back to the Diehards on Sports Map Radio Network. Shukri writes, sitting in the hosting seat tonight alongside with Brendan Connolly. Just had a tremendous interview with John Lyons, host of Sports Map Radio Network, does fill-in work here for the network, New England Football Journal, and as well as for Dirty Water Media. And during this last full segment, we're just going to have a little bit of fun because it's summer, it's Wednesday night, and after all, we're entering the most boring time of the year in sports, where the All-Star break is coming up in about, let's say, roughly 3 weeks.
You got the MLB trade deadline coming up in 3.5.
Your mic is off, by the way.
Oh, good call.
And it's a good thing I noticed it, because I was like, wait a minute, why am I not hearing you? You see, sometimes when in radio, when things happen like this, I can't help but to say to myself, you make sure your mic is on because I want to hear you. America wants to hear you. But you want to know what America doesn't want to hear? Complaining. Athletes complain about the slightest of things. People just whining and complaining. I don't know if you caught on to this last night, but apparently last night during the A's-Yankees game in the Bronx, this became a story. They're playing a game of what appear to be bubblegum roulette, or whatever you want to call it.
Bubblegum roulette.
Exactly. Where, like, they're throwing the gum onto the grass, and you can, if you watch the game, if you maybe seen the clip on MLB.com or wherever else on the internet, you can hear the Yankees announcer Michael Kay of the YES Network just utterly disgusted. Me, on the other hand, I'm like, what are we playing, gum skelly or something? Like, what is this here?
I mean, if anything, the most offensive thing from that is they're not engaged. But, I mean, come on, you're winning the game, right? Like, I mean, I saw people getting annoyed about this. What, is it going to teach everyone to litter? What are we doing here?
Like, it's sending a bad message to the kids that it's okay to litter. Shut up! Shut up!
It's baseball.
Like, seriously. Like, these people that they get up all so tight, like, oh, my gosh, they're supposed to be role models. Shut up and get off your high horse. Like, that's the kind of thing that makes me absolutely want to go around and say, listen, You are not better than me. Stop with the self-righteous nonsense, all right? Thank you.
Well, that's stuff we used to do in the dugout as kids. You just throw gum underneath the seats. Who cares? It's baseball.
If you were fortunate enough, maybe stick a little piece of paper with gum underneath and say, sparking up at night. Like, that's what we would do. But I would tell you, man, seeing that got me laughing. But what also got me laughing earlier this season was the loud smack heard around the world. I'm all for hijinks. I'm all for shenanigans. I'm all for like the debauchery, if you will. Because people are too darn serious in these days in which that everything's got to be so uptight. Oh, my God, how dare you? You're not allowed to have fun. Like, shut up. Like, listen, if someone owe me money and you've been playing hide-and-go-seek, best believe I'm going to find you. But I'm not propagating or supporting anybody going up to another grown man and slapping the business out of someone. No. But it was as funny as heck to see. I mean, you imagine, Brendan, like someone from the Globe says, hey, you, smack. And then suddenly you're like, what was that about?
Like, I'd like to think I have some friends over there. We get along pretty well. In media, I would say.
I mean, absolutely.
I would not like it. But to answer your question, I would not like it if some random person came up and slapped me in the face. No, I would not.
No. I mean, you're having a great day. You're just talking, shooting the breeze, and then suddenly like, ayo, smack. Like, I mean,
a little dope
so smack. Loud. I mean, it's so loud. Between that and players throwing bubble gum on the grass.
Obviously, you're talking about a certain award show or a certain celebrity made a certain had a certain moment, I'm guessing. That was something.
Oh my God. We're halfway through 2022 and we're talking about potential moments of 2022, but nothing, and I mean nothing, could possibly top that.
I mean, it's going to be hard.
I'm sorry. It's going to be really hard to really top that.
I know things go viral and out of the news cycle
real fast. And I know from experience, but go ahead.
Yes, you from experience, we know this. There's been a lot of people. But overall, yeah, I mean, it's wild. Like, that feels like it happened years ago. That's how long ago it feels, even though it just happened recently.
This was like March, I believe?
Yeah,
it was March.
And here we are. We're about to enter July.
And we're about to enter the most boring time of the sports calendar right before the best time on the sports
calendar. It's like post-mid-July. It's like, okay, we're in the second half of baseball. Training camp is starting. And then, oh, by the way, NHL free agency, NBA free agency will have already started, all of that fun jazz.
This is our season. This is when we start going crazy about NBA offseason rumors. Will the Bruins bring in their next big coach?
Oh, God.
This is our season to shine.
Oh, it is.
The players sit down. We get to start talking sports.
But you know what it is, though? It's also our season to really show what your talent is really made of. Because you know what? Part of the reason why I said, let's just have fun with this last segment is because why be buttoned up? Like, why allow yourself to be restricted to a certain rundown and just go off the cliff? Like, people are crying about, there's sharks in my water. I can't swim anywhere safe. Shut up. You're in their home. Like, really? If you're afraid of sharks, then stay home. Stay out of the beach.
Don't go 100 yards out to sea.
Better yet, let's just go and just wander. Oh, my God, I got bit. Oh, my God, why me? Well, you went into their territory, right? You forget that this is their home. It's like I walk into your home at 1 o'clock in the morning. Man, I'm hungry. I'm going to grab me a steak. I'm going to grab me this and just eat this, and then all of a sudden you come downstairs wondering what are you doing here. And then whatever happens is basically my fault because I'm the uninvited guest. That's basically what it is. Humans going into like truck infested waters, that's what we are, uninvited guests.
So you're not are you a shark guy?
I love sharks. I just don't like people complaining about it. That's what drives me off the wall.
Well, you have to remember, I mean, it's tourist season. So that's all these people coming up here, they're expecting clear waters at Cape Cod. They haven't seen this many sharks before. it's just a shock to the system. I think everyone's going to get used to it as time progresses.
Really?
Maybe. Who are we kidding?
Has it happened yet? No, it hasn't happened yet.
It is a new phenomenon, I will say, in this neck of the woods. You don't see them this close. You'll see one once in a while, but now you're starting to see multiple sharks every summer here. That's why I think people are getting concerned. But, as you said, don't go 100 yards out to sea where that's their neck of the woods.
Exactly. And
that's where they're looking for seals.
They're looking for seals, but they found themselves a meal, a human. So, like, I mean, God forbid anybody gets, like, attacked by a shark. I'm not hoping for that for anybody, wishing that on anybody.
If you go to the Cape Cod League this summer and enjoy a nice baseball game, you'll see some of the future stars of the MLB.
Oh, yeah.
Don't go 100 yards out to sea after you go to the game, though.
Yeah, horrible idea.
No, then you will have a Jaws situation on your hands. That's becoming a real issue up here.
Oh, absolutely. And if you're tuning in to the Diehards on SportsMap Radio Network, you're wondering what the heck are these guys talking about. Listen, we're going off the rails. We're going to have fun. It's radio, for goodness sake.
It's just an open segment.
Like national radio. We're not going to talk just sports. We're going to talk hijinks, shenanigans. Like me personally, I hate Sweet Caroline. And if you Red Sox fans want to get at me on social media, have at it, because you know what? Why are people so in love with a tradition that is as outdated as granny's underwears? Like, I don't get it. Why?
I mean, I think a lot of it just has to do with the usual fans that go there for the experience.
Oh, the pink hats.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I was going to put it more nicely. But
nice. You're too nice. That's the problem.
I'm too nice. But yes, like, you go to Fenway and you're a pink hat fan in this situation, you're expecting that. That's kind of become part of the show, part of the experience. And I know you, as a visitor, do not like it. I get kind of sick of it at times, too. It depends on the situation. Like, if you're
if you blow a 5-run lead and you're playing Sweet Caroline, what I was referring earlier about videos going viral, that video, if you remember last summer, went viral because you blew a multi-run lead. And
you're
playing,
referring to the video that you
that I posted, yes.
Which is funny. Like, I agree with you. If you're losing or you blow a lead, that's not the time to play Sweet Caroline. Now, if you're beating the Yankees 14-1, July 4th
touching
or something
me,
like that.
Touching you. Yeah, my hand to your face is what's touching you. Like, no, thank you. Like, I mean, people who are listening probably wonder, okay, what suggestions do you have? Since you like to complain, look at you. Look at you standing on a high totem pole. Well, here's an idea. Play You Give Love a Bad Name by Bon Jovi. That's an idea. all right, can we universally agree that
here's some sports music,
like sports music, like that ain't it? And this is no disrespect to Neil Diamond or anything personal towards him. Not a fan at Red Sox games. Outside of that, maybe. But man, did I not tell you that the Toronto Blue Jays were going to come back and that the Red Sox bullpen was going to blow it? Did I not tell you that?
I was just about to say, I think they're listening to your takes because they appear to be giving up big.
I literally said this off the air that, man, listen, Toronto, they have a chance to make a comeback.
And that was Brazier serving up a game-tying double.
Of course! Game-tying double on a missed diving attempt. No less.
Jackie Bradley missed a catch? You don't see that.
why did the Red Sox bring him back? It's truly... Why are you playing Sweet Caroline? That song belongs in the depths of hell. That's where it belongs. Like, Sweet Caroline, you're losing because good times never been so false. So false! So false! So false! I've had enough. Like, now the producer wants to play Sweet Caroline in my ear. Like, great job. And I mean, my God, now I can't even get out of my head. But you know what? Congratulations, Red Sox. That's why you're losing right now. Because your bullpen blows, and Sweet Caroline is your theme song at a Fenway home games in the eighth inning. Do better next time, for God's sakes.
You really don't like Sweet
Caroline. No, I don't.
Oh, man, that's good.
I've held this really in for, like, how long? I've been holding this in for, like, God knows how long. Like, Brendan.
You really don't like that song at all. Oh, man. That's funny.
I really don't. I'm looking at the Red Sox.
Let it out. You're in a safe harbor.
I'm looking at the Red Sox schedule. I'm like, man.
It's a tough-looking schedule coming up. This
really
is their big season. Back to the sports briefly.
Yeah.
This is their season right here. It looks like if this keeps up, they might get swept by Toronto. Then you have to basically go out and really take care of business against the Cubs because that's when the real gauntlet comes.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Because I'm
four straight series against the Yankees in Tampa, correct?
Yeah, and yours truly will be at the game on July 8th and 9th, Yankees Red Sox at Fenway, God willing. I'll be there. So I'm telling you, if the Red Sox are going to play Sweet Caroline and they're getting their collective buttocks getting kicked inside outside, I am going to absolutely let it fly on Twitter. I promise you. Follow me on Twitter at Shukri Writes and BConnolly63 for the latest hijinks between two guys who are clearly way in over our heads when it comes to Sweet Caroline. One guy likes it, the other guy.
I think it's a song that has to be played in the correct situation.
In the proper context.
Yeah, not when you're losing. Like, come on, not when you're losing a game. That's supposed to be a song that gets the fans up and cheery. Nobody wants to stand up and cheer to Sweet Caroline when you're losing big.
No way. I'm not all for it. It's like the Yankees playing New York after losing a ball game. It's like, no, like that's
same
that,
deal.
Like, listen,
that's the same exact
like the song is legendary. It's a classic. Frank Sinatra, legend, New York native like myself, but you play certain songs in appropriate situations. Not all songs are to be played in all situations. That is just not it at all. That is my beef. What is your beef? Let me know on Twitter as we are heading into the official home stretch here on the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network. Man, listen, I don't know about you, but we really do need to go grab some Kowloon soon.
I'm serious. Sure. That place is legendary.
I am absolutely a fiend for good food. So, but don't mind me. Got more on the other side of the break. Final moments of the show coming up next here on the Diehards with Shukri Writes and Brendan Connolly on the Sports Map Radio Network.
You're listening to the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
Welcome back to the Diehards here on the Sports Map Radio Network. Shukri Writes along with Brendan Connolly as we wrap things up. We got 3 minutes, so we're just going to sit here, kick our feet up, and just continue to watch the Red Sox bullpen get their punches punched in. like basically, yeah, like here I am talking with marbles in my mouth. I mean, but with all of that being said, if you are the Boston Red Sox, as we are now entering the month of July, what is one thing that you want to see Chaim Bloom address the most?
I want to see them address the bullpen situation, add another depth piece. I don't expect them to add a closer because those are too much of a premium.
Oh, yeah.
I want them to bring in some depth at first base as well. Now, do I expect them to go out and get a big name? No, I think they're trying. Heim Bloom's going to try and add ancillary pieces. I think his main goal is to rebuild the farm system. And in order to get those big pieces, you have to part ways with pieces in your said farm system. So I think they're going to add ancillary pieces. They might give up some lower prospects to get them, maybe a piece on their roster that they deem needed to be added. But I want them to get a first baseman and a bullpen arm.
And that's something that does concern me as a baseball fan, that if you are the Red Sox, that you're going to go out and get ancillary pieces, that's not going to benefit you in terms of your goal of trying to win a World Series. I have been right on one particular take, and that is no team in baseball has won a World Series yet solely relying upon analytics. Like, it just hasn't happened yet.
The closest was the Rays, and they
did. And they blew it. No, they blew Game 6 of that World Series 2 years ago. That's the reason why they lost. They were close, but no cigar. But it has been a blast doing the show with you tonight. It's been special. First time hosting this radio show. It's been a blast, Brendan. Thank you.
Thanks again, Shukri. Looking forward to talking more with you in the future on these airwaves.
Absolutely. Have a wonderful night. All of you guys, thank you for listening to the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network. Enjoy the rest of your night, guys.